Cornel West, based at Princeton, is, like Emerson, a preacher with a national audience without a church. Emerson is his number one American writer, a soulful modern, a model public philosopher, but not, by Cornel West's definition, a blues man.
Do you count him a modern?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, I think to be modern is to go back to Kant's 1784 essay of what is enlightenment. It is to seek release from one's self-incurred immaturity, to seek release from one's self-imposed tutelage, which is to say to dare to know, to have the courage to use one's intelligence to make oneself without having to fall back on some kind of external authority that answers it for one. And Emerson is Socratic to the core. He's a matter of daring to know and using his own critical intelligence to make and remake himself without looking to some authority outside of himself.
Hmm. But I'm thinking, you know, is he a contemporary to you? Do you read him, as they say, for historical interest, or do you find he talks to this society and you?
Emerson, for me, is one of the most contemporary of 19th century figures, precisely because he speaks to the issues of life and death, of joy and sorrow, those perennial ones of mortality, history, reality. It resonates deeply. He's still a challenge. He's still a interlocutor in a very fundamental way.
How'd you come by him? When did you first read him? And
I read him in high school. It was just a matter of sense of possibility. I mean, at that point, he was just the apostle of the American religion of possibility, the American religion of potentiality. It was a kind of vulgarized reading of Emerson in which, you know, we die every day and we're born to victory, that we can never be crushed. We always bounce back, that kind of Emerson. Tremendous stress on courage, confidence, valor, buoyancy, that has gone hand in hand with the American religion of possibility. And that Emerson, of course, can be appropriated in a very vulgar way of just valorizing opportunity and downplaying the night side of things. The charge of Emerson has no sense of the tragic, no sense of the comic, and so on. And those were, those were textbook criticisms of Emerson. But when I actually had a chance to read through his corpus very, very closely, I could see that Emerson was much deeper and much more profound. You read essays like The Comic, The Poet, The Tragic, Experience, Fate. You cannot read those essays and walk away thinking that Emerson has no sense of the tragic and no understanding of darkness and despair.
Well, precisely. And I thought sometimes, I mean, he meets the modern definition of the blues man, if I may presume to say. I mean, he had a lot of death around him among his brothers, mental illness, suffering. He lost his first wife. And yet there is such an affirmative kind of confrontation of the bad news in the classic blues fashion. Does that make any sense to you?
I think it does. I think that there is a sense, though, in which Emerson is aware of the darkness and despair and disillusionment, but he doesn't linger on it that long. This is where I think he's a little different than the blues man. Emerson is a kind of American Hamlet in the sense that he knows that America has a night side it has to wrestle with, but he doesn't like to linger long on it either. I mean, even, you know, his responses to slavery and so forth, he was exemplary in terms of making various public pronouncements that Frederick Douglass liked, but he didn't stay there. He didn't linger there the way Douglass did. You see, he didn't want to get stuck in that darkness in the way that Douglass had the courage to get stuck and fought his way out. So there is a certain, to view Emerson as a blues man might be stretching it for me. I think he's on the road to the blues. Emerson's about buoyancy. He's about movement. He's about of action. He's about affirmation, you see.
Amen. There was a performance artist in there. I try to read those essays and imagine him kind of giving the talk on the road. I mean, he was a traveling show.
Oh, yes. He was the first great public intellectual to constitute a career as a lecturer on the circuit.
Yeah.
You know, in 1865, he lectured 70 times. I mean, he's an older man, and they didn't have American Airlines or United Airlines, you know. It's just unbelievable. He had a passion to communicate that ought to inspire all of us.
And people turned up, too.
They sure did.
Emerson did so many things, including great poetry and essays, performance.
Yes.
Does it matter whether we call him a philosopher or not? Do you think of him as a philosopher?
If we understand philosophy in the etymological sense of lover of wisdom, not possessor, but pursuer, lover of wisdom, he is a generic philosopher. If we think of him in terms of professional philosophy, certain kind of analytical arguments, rigorous ways of making points, not at all. Not at all. He uses his prose in a poetic way in order to pursue wisdom. Phronesis, practical wisdom, raising Socratic question, how to live. I don't think it gets better than that.
Whether it makes him a philosopher or not, Emerson also elevates this idea of the scholar's role to do the job for the whole unified society the way the cobbler does or the farmer. Man thinking.
Yes. Thinking is so difficult. And by thinking, what he really means is thinking with one's whole self and one's whole being, so that there's a kind of shudder and quiver and vertigo that flows from both the way one thinks, but also allows one to regroup in order to act. And most people would rather not think. It takes too much courage to think. It's too much danger to think. Too much risk to think, you see. And he understood what it really meant to think in that sense.